Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another FNF Talks episode. Today, we're going to be discussing the title challenge match of Liverpool versus Manchester United. Firstly, though, I'm going to introduce Mr. George Newell. George, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
And also Mr. Ewan Fleming.
Hello, welcome back.
Cheers, Ewan. Yeah, so first, boys, this is obviously a very big game in terms of the title race at the moment. I know George wouldn't like to think it that way because you don't want to think of United as a proper title contender, do you?
I would, I just don't.
All right, cheers. okay, yeah, so first things first, boys, I think we should talk about how the teams have been performing recently. Obviously, Liverpool have been a bit meh. Gig, what do you think the reasons for that have been?
To be honest, I think like whenever you lose a player like Van Dijk, it's gonna hurt. And I know, like, I think initially it sort of united the group a little bit more, but eventually I think it does catch up with you, which is only natural when you lose a world-class player. But yeah, I think although the issue hasn't been with their defence, I think they're struggling for goals lately, but it's just the confidence that Van Dijk brings to the team. And to be honest, it's credit to Liverpool that this hasn't affected them earlier. You know what I mean? I thought they'd really struggle without him, but they're still right up there.
Well, they've had they've scored one goal in their last three games, and they've played against West Brom and Newcastle in that time, which is not exactly a great record to have, is it? Ewan, who do you think is going to be Liverpool's biggest threat?
Well, I think you look at their front three and it's pretty impossible not to think any of them could get a goal or could be that winning piece. They've only got one goal in the last three games since that 7-0 victory to Palace. But I think it's sort of, as George was alluding to, that Van Dijk being away from the team is a massive thing, and it sort of just shakes up their ability to play like they normally play. So their goal threat just hasn't been there, and that probably stems from not being able to play from the back or play as securely. I think a lot of the time their midfield, it's just sort of sideways balls. And I know it's hard when you're playing against low blocks, and it's hard to try and get that pass that gets through the middle or over the top or around the sides. But they seem to just not being able to do that, just trying to rely on their fullbacks to create something. Obviously, with Thiago in there now, you've got someone that can thread the ball through the middle and take a few players out of the game. And they've got another way of attacking it. So I think if they've got Thiago fit, then it gives them another way to play and makes them a lot more threatening as well.
Yeah, I think at the start of the season, that's what a lot of people were saying about, like, they needed that, like, world-class central midfielder, and they signed one in Thiago. Nice open of the can there, mate. they signed one in Thiago, I think, which can really help them. But another thing that we want to talk about is Liverpool's centre-back partnerships, which have been pretty much always consistent of Fabinho, but, like, yeah, what did you think of Fabinho and Henderson together? Do you think it was a bit too maybe aggressive in a way?
I don't think, obviously, you can't really knock the performance against Southampton because they kept a clean sheet and they didn't keep a clean sheet, sorry, but the goal I conceded was a Trent individual error, really, from a set piece.
Yeah.
Fabinho's looked like he's played centre back all his career this season. I think he's been excellent, but yeah, in big games, like with the pace of Martial and Rashford and the threat that Bruno poses, it certainly seems a little bit shaky. I wouldn't fill me with confidence going into a big game. And they also lose a lot in midfield. You could probably say before Thiago came in, they were the two best midfielders, and if they're in centre-back, then they're losing an awful lot in midfield.
Yeah. Well, I think as well with Fabinho and Henderson, what they don't have, which they maybe had a bit more with Gomez and Van Dijk, is they've not got the agility in the central defenders. So when you're playing against players like Rashford and like Martial, if it's ever in a one-on-one situation, like, I'm probably backing the attacker there. over the centre backs, whereas if it was Van Dijk, like, you'd never back the striker in a one-on-one situation. But speaking of like Rashford and Martial, who do you think is going to be like the danger man for United in terms of goals? Because obviously Pogba scored the winner against Burnley, and they've relied a lot on Bruno Fernandes. But and then I think Rashford still looks really dangerous pretty much every time he plays.
Well, yeah, like...
Yeah, oh, sorry, George. No, go for it, dude.
Yeah, like, I think with Rashford, this season especially, it's sort of... He's been able to, even when he's not in the best of form, he's still been getting the output. He's still been getting goals. Like, against Wolves, he didn't have a particularly good match, but still got them the winner. I think he's always going to be dangerous. He's at that level now where he's just a top-class player. Yep.
Nice. Sorry about that. That character going down well.
Bit too well. Martial is potentially out for
he's
this
so
game.
Hot and cold.
It's
Oh, is he still
Yeah, picked up a bit of a knock against Burnley, I believe, and it's not known whether he will definitely be able to start. I think he'll probably still be in the squad, but it's been reported that it might be Dan James playing instead of him, which doesn't... actually, as you were saying, the sort of... With Liverpool's back line at the moment, that pace could give Man U some inter... Could be the winner for the game. Like, they obviously try and have a high line and use their fullbacks as almost wingers. So having Dan James, who might be able to just get in behind, we saw it with Villa. They got in behind and got past that defence a lot when they were playing like that. Yeah. The only thing I think with playing James and stuff, it's sort of allowing yourself to fall into that counter-attacking style. Whereas I think Man U, like, this is a good opportunity for them if they want to announce themselves on the big time and say, yeah, we are title contenders. I think they've got an opportunity here to actually bring a game to Liverpool and outplay them. But
yeah, I agree with you there. I think Solskjaer
will probably actually end up playing might not do that.
You've had something to say.
I agree. Like, it's a good opportunity for United to take the game to them because it's a weak side. And obviously they don't have that hostility of a full Anfield. I think, like, Anfield is always...
That will make a difference.
Always at its best when Man U comes down. But then it's difficult on because Liverpool are formidable at home, but Man U have been better on the road. I think if Man U are going to get a goal, I think I'd be looking to Cavani. Big game, just experience in and around the box. I think with Rashford, I do think he misses, like, if he gets one chance a game. I do agree he's massively improved, but if he gets one big chance a game, he still misses them more often than not. But then, being a Manchester boy, he does tend to play well against Liverpool, and he does seem up for it. I think Pogba will probably go missing the big game. I wouldn't bet on him to score. But yeah, I could see Cavani posing a threat. Just if he's up against two central midfielders playing as defenders, I think his movement could be what gets United on.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about Paul Pogba, obviously played brilliantly against Burnley and got a goal. But like you were saying, who United pick is going to be something interesting because they might go for that, like, Fred McTominay combination instead. But you were also saying, like, that Pogba Matic could be something.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of it, and especially Pogba's performance, I'd be surprised if Pogba isn't picked. It's depends where Solskjaer's going to play him, whether he's going to play him in that double pivot role or whether he'll play him to the left of Bruno. I think if you're playing him to the left of Bruno, you are making a big mistake. You could have more attacking threat in there and it doesn't allow Pogba to do what he does best and find those long range passes, being able to ping balls all over the pitch.
Yeah, I don't think he trusts him though. I don't think he particularly trusts the back four to have Pogba in front of him. And Fred and McTominay have served him really well in the big game, so I'd be very surprised if he didn't go for Fred and McTominay. I do expect Pogba to play, but I think he'd be on the left of that three. Yeah.
I mean, what really surprised me was how well he took the ball forward against Burnley. And I mean, I know it's Burnley, he's going to be up against a bit of a tougher midfield, but I don't know, I think when he's obviously against Burnley, it wasn't Fred McTominay, was it? It was
Pogba Matic.
It was Pogba Matic, yeah. Which means obviously he had that bit, I think, a bit more freedom, which allowed him to do that. So do you think it's because of the Fred McTominay combination that he doesn't have that chance, Ewan?
Well, yeah, like if you've got McFred in there playing above the two centre backs, then it pushes Pogba into a position that isn't his best. It's putting him a bit further up the field where he can't use his passing range. And especially with the centre-back partnership that Liverpool are going to have, and with Trent and Robertson pushing up so much, I think if you've got Pogba as more of a deep-lying playmaker and someone that can ping a ball straight over to Dan James or Rashford to attack on the break, I think it could serve United well. But as Gig said, it's probably unlikely because Solskjaer just trusts McFred a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. Also, another thing I wanted to maybe quickly mention is United's centre-backs, because obviously Baye last few days has been playing really well. But Gig, if you were Solskjaer, I mean, I might be wrong, one of them might be injured, but who would you be picking over, like Maguire or Lindelof?
Oh, Maguire, definitely. Kind of getting a bit bored of the Maguire stick. I appreciate that he's not an £8 million player and he's probably not Man United captain material. But he's a very solid Premier League centre-back. And he got nominated for December Player of the Month. I think he's a solid player. I think Ewan said the other day, like, Maguire and Lindelof aren't bad players at all. They just don't go well together. There's no pace there. I don't know, maybe not for this game, but I don't know what more Tu and Davies got to do to start more. I think he pocketed Mbappe when they went to Paris. He played it right back in the cup at Everton and was solid that night as well. He can play either position. It might be a bit too big a game for him, but then he did it against one of the best attackers in the world in PSG. So I'd probably go Maguire and Boye. I still feel Boye's a bit erratic. But then, yeah, their physicality up against Firmino, and you need someone to buy his pace up against the likes of Salah and Mane. So probably Maguire and Boye for me.
Yeah. Right, boys. Yeah.
Lindelof probably will be back, and it was sort of rumoured that he might be playing against Burnley, but with the combination of Baye and Maguire having been so good over the last couple of games, I don't see why Solskjaer would try and change that up, and I think it would be a mistake not to go for them two, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably means he'll go for Lindelof then.
Well, because we've talked Hardy and Maguire, obviously Ole listens and he doesn't really like us, so he's going to play what we don't want him to do. Anyway, shall we get into our predictions for the final score? Gig, I'm going to go to you first.
I was a little bit unsure. I can't see Liverpool losing just because of their record at Anfield. I expect they'll pretty much control the game just with their big game experience and just people who've been there and done it. But I fancy a crafty Cavani late equaliser, so I think 1-1.
Okay, nice. Ewan, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think before the podcast, I had a lot of faith in Man U, and I was sort of thinking, it's destined for them to break this record. And I don't know, there's part of me that's sort of like, rationally, Liverpool do have such a good team and they can control the game. But then I can sort of see United doing a job on them and breaking that record. And I think I'll go for a 3-1 United.
Nice. I'm actually going to say 3-2 to United. So none of us back in Liverpool for the win. Just quickly, does that mean that we're not back in Liverpool for the title?
Well, I'm not.
That's because Gig's back in Man City, but out of the two,
I think you'd say Liverpool are probably still more favourites than United. I think we've all decided that we reckon City's got enough to win the league this year.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I would like to see United win the league again, probably more so than City or Liverpool as well. I like the fact that no one's back in Liverpool to win. That's interesting and could come back and bite us in the arse. But yeah, shall we get into our combined 11?
I think we shall.
Nice. Let's go. Right. So, are we going for the... We were talking formations 4-2-3-1, boys. Is that what we're going for?
Yeah, I feel like the players we've got at our disposal, 4-2-3-1 is the way forward.
Okay, I'm happy with that. So we're going to start off in goals. And this, I don't think it's going to be that contentious, but Gig, I'm going to let you say your two pence.
I've gone for Alisson. I think De Gea, I think we've touched on, he has improved this season. He's looking more like the goalkeeper he once was. But he's gone back to being a good keeper, but not anywhere near Alisson's level. I think you see the importance of Alisson more when Van Dijk's not there, because he has a lot more saves to make and a lot more sweeping to do, whereas nothing seems to get past Van Dijk. So, yeah, best keeper in the league for me, Alisson.
Ewan, are you happy with Alisson?
I definitely agree. As we've said, De Gea's had a bit of resurgence in form, but he's not... Alisson's one of the world's best, if not the world's best. So there's no taking him out of the team.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, boys. So we'll go on to our first centre-back. Now,
are we skipping right back?
Are we going... Do you want to go right back first?
Oh, it's up to you. It's up to you. Yeah. You're the leader. Follow the leader.
Why don't you put pressure on him now, though?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my guns here. I'm not gonna be bossed about.
Just do what comes out, man.
Yeah, this is what feels natural to me, Ewan. You can't force me to do what you want. Consent is important. centre back. So the first one, I'm going to put a case forward for Fabinho. Because I think he's just, like, as Duke said in the last episode, he's slotted in well and he looks like he's been playing centre back his whole career. So I think it's unfair to not at least give him a good shout. Ig, your thoughts?
I agree. Yeah, I think he's been excellent. I think the reason, up to about 2 weeks ago, the reason Liverpool sort of didn't seem to miss Van Dijk was because of how well Fabinho's done at centre-back. A lot of times as well, playing with an inexperienced centre-back in either Williams or Phillips. And they've looked pretty comfortable alongside him, which I think shows you how good a player he is. I do think they miss him in midfield as well. Definitely, he was my first choice.
Ewan, are you happy with a Fabinho in there?
Definitely. I think if Fabinho wasn't at centre-back, then we'd have him in CDM. But I think we can't really put him there because he has been doing so well. He has been playing at centre-back, so
yeah.
He has been doing well. So I'd definitely go Fabinho. Are we going left centre-back for him? Or
Whatever you want, mate. I'll let you decide.
I'd say right because of who else I've gone for, but
it's not that deep, is it, boys? It's really not.
So
I want to clarify to anyone listening that we're not going to be including Van Dijk because he's only played a few games this season. Next up,
out with a long term injury is why.
Well, yeah,
obviously, it's only people
who've dropped.
Yeah,
it's only people available.
I didn't want to make it seem like that. Yeah. So next up, we're doing striker.
<Ba-dum-tsh>.
I just wanted to see if that would annoy you there, Ewan. Yeah, so the next centre-back, I'll let you guys shoot first, Ewan.
I think really it's out of Maguire or Bailly. And for me, I think Bailly's form has been really good. But I think if I think I'll probably lean a bit towards Maguire for today.
Okay, so that's one vote for Maguire. George, thoughts?
I'd agree with Maguire. I think, Bailly's been impressive since coming to the team. I think he's what Maguire needs, that sort of someone a bit faster alongside him. I think Maguire's done it over a full season. He might not have been as good as Bailly has for four games, but I'd rather have someone who's performed consistently over half a season.
Yeah, I mean, I did want to vote for Bailly, but if you guys have strong opinions on that, then I won't fight you on it. So move on to left back, because right back is now going to be the last position we choose. Left back, I don't think there's a debate in.
I do think recently Luke Shaw has been playing well, and he's like a lot of the doubts with the Man United fullback sort of not having the same attacking output as other clubs. I think that comes down more to Wan-Bissaka than Luke Shaw. I think Luke Shaw, like as we've seen, like he can put in a good cross, and Wan-Bissaka can't do that as well. But I think Luke Shaw has been solid. But yeah, it would be hard not to go for Robertson.
Best left back in the world.
Yeah, I think it's similar to the Alisson one, isn't it? Like Shaw's improved, but he's still like not up to the level of Robertson, who's just been world class for the last couple of years.
So that's locking in Andy Robertson. So for right back, again, I'm gonna let Geek shoot first on this one.
I've gone for Wan-Bissaka. I probably would have gone for Wan-Bissaka if it wasn't on form. But Trent's former late. We're not mean to brag, guys. It's just that everything that I've said about him without a world-class centre-back behind him seems to be coming true. He's not able to get forward as much, which is fair enough. But I think now that he has more defending to do, we're seeing that it's a bit of a weakness of his game. And call me old-fashioned, but I'd much rather have a right-back who's can defend first. And then I appreciate that they need to be able to go forward, and it's part of the game Wan-Bissaka needs to work on. But he's so good defensively, I'd always be having him at right back over him.
Old fashioned.
I don't know. I'd say the only thing that, like, you see how fantastic Trent is on the ball and how many assists.
He should play in centre mid, couldn't he?
Well, it's not necessarily that. However, it's sort of in 5 years' time, when he's a bit older, then he'll have had that. So, like, he's still 21 and he's fantastic attacking output. He's got fantastic attacking output already, and then he can work on the defensive part of his game.
Fantastic attacking output if they put in 50 crosses a game, though, wouldn't they? You know what I mean? It's just the law of averages. He gave the ball like 38 times against Southampton.
Yeah, he is going through a poor patch of form. However,
but that's not new though. He's like, even when he's playing well, like he's been known to give the ball away like 30 times.
Yeah, but Bruno Fernandes and Kevin De Bruyne give the ball away more than
they're
Alexander Arnold finds himself unmarked a lot more.
Well, yeah, but it's about working yourself into that space so you've got the time on the ball to put in a cross. Because obviously, it doesn't have
more space than a centre mid. It's just the game. Like,
well, yeah, you get more space, but it's also getting yourself into those positions to deliver those crosses.
What, running forward a few yards? That's all he has to do.
Yeah, but you see it with anyone when they create more space for themselves.
Yeah, but there's no skill to a right back finding space, is there? Not to the same extent as a Kevin De Bruyne, at least.
I just think you're so harsh on Alexander Arnold just because you don't like him because he's not amazing at defending.
I don't think he's that good at attacking either. I think it's just the fact he puts in more crosses than anyone in the league that leads people to believe it, and he scored a few decent free kicks, which he hasn't done for a while, I might add. You know, we could talk about Trent for.
Yeah, we could talk about him in an episode.
Yeah,
are you putting a case forward for Trent?
No, I'd also go for Wan-Bissaka. Trent's form has been poor as of late, and Wan-Bissaka hasn't been particularly great, but I think he's been a bit better than Trent has been. So
yeah, well, I'm not going to fight you on that either. So whack in Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Next up, our first holding midfielder. I think there's a bit of a talking point here. A bit of a discussion point. A few players we could put in there. But I'm going to let Ewan shoot first.
So, as my left-sided CDM, I think that I would go
for... No, we're doing the right-sided one first.
Oh, we do right side.
On
the left side, I think that I would go for Paul Pogba.
Ooh, in a holding role.
Yeah. I think he's been performing well lately. I don't see why. If you look at the other midfielders we got in question, I think Pogba's on form, been one of the best in the past month. So, yeah, I'm going for Pogba.
Okay, George, you look like you have some opinions on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's his best position. I think off the top of my head, he's only played there against Burnley so far. I don't think
he was phenomenal though.
Yeah, but I'd back myself alongside Matic. You know what I mean? Like, but it's just like he's just
having an agenda.
It's just such a liability. Like he's playing as one of the front three, and it's like it suits the strength of his game. I know what you're saying about his long range passing, Ewan, but ultimately, if he's going to give the ball away more often than not, with like in dangerous positions, I'd rather not risk it for two crossfield passes a game that put someone in on goal. I went for Fred on the left. I think he's vastly improved. Good on the ball. Cuts out a lot. Dangerous attacks that Pogba doesn't. He's no Rodri, don't get me wrong, but he's a very useful player of late, and he's starting to look like what a £56 million midfielder should look like. So Fred,
yeah, I'm going to agree with Fred in that left sided central CDM role, because I think Fred this season has like blown my mind with how much he's improved. Like he's shown like the odd game over the last like 2 years before this season, but really he did just look like a flop of a signing this year. He looks like he can bring the ball forward a bit, but that's not his main game. It's his defensive output for me that I really like. Ewan, are you going to be annoyed if we put Fred in there?
Well, no, but then I suppose it comes down to who's the other person that you pick in.
Okay, well, then, Gig, I'm going to ask you, who's your other holding midfielder alongside Fred?
Gini Wijnaldum. I went for, I think, in a similar sense to Alisson with Van Dijk, you notice him more now, some of the bigger players are missing. I know Liverpool aren't one to be sort of bullied. I think, like, how they run the club is fantastic, but why they haven't got him tied down to a new contract is kind of beyond me. I appreciate that he's getting to an age where they're looking to replace him, but ultimately he's that good a player. I don't think you can be letting him leave on a free or for next to nothing. Just a very, very tidy footballer. Seems to enjoy a big game as well. His goal and assist output obviously isn't brilliant, but that's not the strength of his game. I've gone with him to go with Fred.
Ewan, are you going to disagree with Gini?
I'm not too far. I think Gini is definitely one of them. I was contemplating there were quite a few names. I hadn't really got one nailed down for the other position. I was sort of Pogba, and then there's a number of players that I feel like could have done the job alongside him. I thought could be Pogba Matic, Pogba Fred, or Pogba Gini, or even Pogba Jay Hens, which I know Gig would hate. But I'm happy with Wijnaldum.
Yeah, okay. As much as I like Matic, I just don't think he starts enough anymore. I think McTominay definitely seems to be the way Man U are going.
Yeah, I think Matic, in terms of like actual ability as a player, and you look back at his career, is the sort of CDM that in his prime, like United could do with, because he can do the job of McFred by himself, but he just doesn't have the legs anymore.
Yeah, I saw I think it was a few years old, but I saw like a clip of Steven Gerrard, and he was saying like, of all the players that Man U had bought over the last few years, Matic was the one he was like, oh, I really hope they don't get him. Like,
yeah.
Like, when he was at Chelsea, he was phenomenal. But then if
he was the best player in the league when Chelsea won the league and Mourinho the second time, he was so much better than Hazard that year.
You have to dig out Hazard, who was also phenomenal. No,
he was phenomenal, but it was like it didn't seem to be like he got any like appreciation for how important he was to Chelsea as a team. In like he just broke up everything and started everything, and I was just like, I loved him, and so I feel
like he did get a lot of recognition.
I wouldn't say he's massively made, that's just you and media, Alex. You just look at
I do
that.
Hate a media hype, I really do.
But also Matic would be on the left because he's left-footed, I would say. Yeah. You know, but it depends who we're going for.
Okay, so I think the main question here is, are we going to go for Pogba, Fred, or Pogba, Fred, or Fred and Gini?
I think it's difficult to put Pogba in. I appreciate his talent, but I think it's difficult to put him in a position that he hasn't really played this season. That said, I haven't put him in the front three either. But
yeah, but I wouldn't put him in the front three because it just isn't.
Yeah, but he's not going to get the best ball this season, bar the Burnley game. Like,
and well, and also it's where he plays for France as well, where he plays his best football.
Yeah, with Matuidi and Kante and people like that around him. Most disciplined defensive midfielders you can get.
Yeah, no, I suppose I'll concede on Pogba. Thanks, then we won't have him.
Let's lock in Fred and G.
A month ago he wasn't even like getting a look in the team, so I do feel it'd be a bit drastic to put him in. Yeah. I know it's on form, but I also just think he's playing well, so he can get himself a move. But you know, that's just me.
It's definitely not. It's just not that.
It could be.
I just don't think that could possibly be why he suddenly started playing well. Anyway, so let's move on to the attacking midfield role. There's no debate about this one, I think, either, Ewan.
Yeah, I think it's obviously Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Best player in the league at the moment for me, or one of at least, top three. So.
Got to be top three.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be Bruno.
Yeah. Gig, anything you want to add?
I went for Juan Mata. Got him. Bruno.
What about to kick off?
Bruno, yeah. Bruno.
Okay, nice. On to the left wing position. Or left
no disrespect to Mata, by the way. He's just a
class player in his day.
Yeah.
But yeah, left midfield. Ewan, where have you shot?
Yeah, so for me, that left mid I have given to Marcus Rashford.
Nice.
I don't think he's not in the best form of his life, but his output has been pretty strong so far this season. And it might make a bit more sense with the later picks why I've gone for Rashford as well.
Yeah, and I think some people will be like, why haven't you said Mane there, like about me and you? And I don't know what Geek said yet. But if you look at the last three games, obviously Liverpool haven't been good going forward. I don't think Mane's played in 3-1, or he hasn't started in every one, but still, like, that's got to be something you think about comparing the two teams. But saying that, Gig, who have you put as your left winger?
I went for Rashford. Like you say, I think Mane at his best would be him.
Not a contest,
I think,
really.
I think up to the Palace game, I think he had one goal in eight or nine, I think I'm right in saying. And then obviously they had a bit of a field day down in East London with the lads. But yeah, Rashford's looked a much improved player. He's looking like the player we know he sort of can become. Like creating a lot more chances for himself. His dribbling's come on loads. Still think his big chance creation needs some work, but ultimately his goals and assists. As Ewan said, he seems to contribute even if he's not playing particularly well, which is a sign of a quality player. So, Rashford for me as well.
Okay. I like the look of that. Let's move over to the right wing position. Gig, I'll let you put your two pence in.
I've gone for Salah. Pretty straightforward, I thought. 13 goals this season. I don't think anyone would really say he's probably been at his best. I think, I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's because of the first season he had. Like, if Salah scores 15, 20 goals a season, no one's too bothered about it because they know he's capable of that. But ultimately, since he's been at Liverpool, he's been one of the best forwards in world football, and I think you have to have him in.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Ewan, have you gone for anything different?
No, I've gone for Salah as well. He's absolutely phenomenal and always looks a threat. Never.
I don't know, though. I think Dan James is a good rival.
He's a good rival for a backup slot in the Manchester United team, not a...
Yeah. He might get into a combined minute of 23.
He is fast, though. You got to give it to him.
He is quick, fast. Yeah.
Who have you gone for up top there now?
Well, I've actually not made a decision. Because I think Firmino... I'd still kind of rate Firmino, but again, he's not someone you can rely on for goals. So I did Well, I still didn't make a decision. I've made a decision of Martial, but not like a... Yeah, I know it's a weird one because he's not played at top that many times, but I know, I think he's dangerous.
What I've gone for, so in the sort of thought that Firmino is sort of is not really an out and out goal scorer, and you've got someone like Bruno Fernandes who can do the creative work that you'd maybe have Firmino doing in that Liverpool team, and so I've thought that we could put Mane up top.
If
we're trying to go for the best team to create, if you've got that front four players, then I reckon that would be the best side.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
This is interesting because I agree, like straight away I thought Firmino, but then I agree with what Ewan said about the system we're playing. As much as I like Firmino, I think he's wonderful to watch, and he looked, even if you look at his numbers last year, he got a lot of stick. I think it's more because he didn't score at Anfield for so long, but his numbers last year were really good. He's performing well this year, so he was like my first thought. But then for this out and out striker role, like you say, if we've got Fernandes creating, I'm thinking Cavani, just for a serial goal scorer in the team. I think everyone, I couldn't believe the stick Man U got for signing him. I know everyone was expecting like a Sancho or someone to come in, and obviously like a 35-year-old on a free is a step down from that, but like just the experience, the amount he can teach the likes of Rashford and Martial, like from being around the club about goal scoring, is a benefit in itself. And he's performed well.
He's got goals, yeah.
I think he's only got 3 goals, but I think he's only started 3 games. His minutes per goal is around 120, which is very strong. He's just a serial goal scorer. And I think in a team like this, he'd get so many chances. You'd love him in and around the box. I see what you're saying. Mane could play through the middle. I'd definitely go.
I'd rather play Martial.
Martial's been poor this season. I thought post lockdown he was excellent, and I thought he was starting to look like the player he can be. But I think he's been woeful this season. I would feel very strongly about not having him in.
I don't think he's been as bad as you say.
I don't think he's been poor. I think poor is harsh.
He scored 2 goals, hasn't he?
I think he's scored more than that. Has he not? Has he only scored 2?
I believe
it's,
so.
It's not all about goals. But
yeah, but what else does he do? He's lazy. He's not a brilliant
passer. He's not lazy. That
he looks good and he's a shagger.
He's not lazy.
He's not arsed. Cavani,
right. I think that's
I am gonna
a dangerous narrative you're pushing, George.
Anyway, let's be civilized, dear lads. Let's be civilized. I am gonna second gig on Cavani over Mane down the middle, partly because I'd rather play Rashford down the middle than Mane and put Mane on the left if we were gonna do that. I want a second gig.
I don't know. Cavani. I think Rashford looks better on the left.
Rashford's not or the wings. I think Mane's got more instinct than Rashford, but Cavani's got more instinct than the both
of them. Yeah. So, are you happy with Cavani, Ewan?
2v1, then we'll go for Cavani.
Right.
Oh, nice picture.
So, who will be having in charge of this team?
Luscious locks.
Who will be having in charge of this team?
OGS did pull off an emphatic win against Burnley. So,
yeah. And it was a great game.
No, similar to the Man City, Man United, it's really spit good. Obvious.
Yeah. With Poppy in charge. Right, Giggy, you happy with the team?
Very, actually. I believe that is the exact team I went for. So
nice.
To run you through the team, we've got Alisson in goal, we've got Wan-Bissaka at right back.
Was hosting this one.
Ooh, fashion week and it's shut down.
All right, you go for it, mate.
You even know you can carry on.
I'm all right now. You can do it.
All right. Alisson in goal, Wan-Bissaka in right back with Robinson on the other side and left back. Maguire and Fabinho as the centre-halves. Wijnaldum and Fred playing as the holding midfielders. On the left wing, we've got Rashford. Behind the striker is Bruno Fernandes. On the right is Mohamed Salah, and up top, Edinson Cavani. I think that's a lovely little lineup, boys.
Yeah, strong. Yeah. Very, very well balanced, I think.
In terms of which side has more players, I think it is.
Oh no, I just meant general football in philosophy.
Oh, okay, cool. We've actually gone for more United players for two videos in a row, isn't that?
Yeah.
So clearly they're the best team in the league, Gig.
You reckon?
Yeah, there must be if we've put them with more players in a combined 11 with Liverpool and Manchester and Manchester City.
That is the criteria, isn't it?
I think it matters more than points. So I'm happy with that, boys. Is there anything else anyone would like to say before we go?
We're not in a school lesson, Alex.
You'll never walk alone, maybe. That's a thing people say.
Yeah, I say it a lot from where.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Colligan, 200 laughs, please.
Alex laughs but doesn't understand.
Why do you have to call me out like that? Anyway, I think that we'll leave it there, boys. To anyone who is still watching, thanks for getting all the way through. Hope you enjoyed it.
Proper struggle.
Any socials will be in the description. And if you haven't already, go and watch the preview where we did a bit more of a discussion based on just the general team's forms and our scoreline predictions. And thanks for watching.